Good morning, friends and neighbors. This is Pastor and Bible teacher Craig Heilman welcoming you to Study His Word Radio. I especially want to thank you this morning because this is our first broadcast here on WWGH 107.1, and look forward to meeting with you every Sunday morning. And what we do here at Study His Word Radio is we do just that. We study His Word. We'll take some time and we'll open up God's Word and we'll delve into it and study it. By studying in the Word, we can learn some things that we can apply to our life. After our study, we'll spend a little time. We'll pray over prayer requests that you're able to submit. We may answer some Bible questions that you may have. We'll talk about some relevant news that relates to the church and people of faith. From time to time, we'll have live interviews with people of faith from the surrounding Marion and the surrounding area. So let's go ahead and let's get started. If you want to take a minute and grab your Bible and a cup of coffee, and we'll jump right into His Word. We're going to start with studying the book of Ephesians. So today we'll get started at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll take some time and spend it there. So join me now as we study His Word.
The book of Ephesians, it is a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, but as is typical with Paul's letters, they were also intended for general circulation to be used in other churches. It is a letter that he wrote while he was in prison. It was written approximately 60 AD. It, along with some of the other letters that he wrote, like Colossians and Philemon and that, are known as the prison epistles because he wrote them while he was in prison. This particular letter was delivered by a guy by the name of Tychicus, and we see his name three or four times in Scripture. He was obviously a very trusted worker and a very good worker that Paul had a lot of faith and trust in, and he actually delivered the letters. Ephesus was the capital city of the Roman province of Asia. It's generally that area that we know today as Turkey. Ephesus was a huge city. They estimate the population at the time that Paul wrote this letter and during his ministry that the population was about 300,000, so it was a very large city. It was a trade center. It was a major trade center. Because it was a major trade center, you had a lot of people that would come and go, and so when people come and go, they many times bring their cultural influences or are influenced by the culture. It was very well known as a very pagan city. It was essentially the center for pagan worship. The goddess Diana, which is actually Roman, the equivalent would be the Greek goddess Artemis. They had this huge temple there for worshiping her, and that temple there is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. I don't know, you don't hear much about that anymore, but I know when I was a kid, I had the little ViewMaster thing that you'd click and had the seven wonders of the ancient world, and Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and this was one of them. Paul's letter is six chapters. The first three chapters are primarily doctrine, where Paul lays out essential Christian doctrine. The last three chapters are basically applying that doctrine, how to live as a Christian, the important parts of living a Christian life. It's interesting because when we read those early chapters that are so heavy in doctrine, I think sometimes in the church today, we have a tendency to just kind of read through it and rush through it, and I think sometimes miss some of the essential points of the doctrine that Paul's laying out. We need to fully understand our relationship with God, what God has done for us, what God can do for us. Essentially, who we are in Christ is what it boils down to. And that's what Paul's doctrinal emphasis is who we are in Christ. The second three chapters are about Christian living. Just how to apply that doctrine, living the Christian life. And we will tackle Ephesians chapter 5, talking about husbands and wives. And we'll look at it from a biblical standpoint. Some of those verses are very much misunderstood. Some of them are often misused and abused. And hopefully when we look at them, we can look at them strictly from a biblical standpoint and kind of tear away some of the human influences of some of those verses that people get hung up on. The idea is not for us to get hung up on them. The idea is for us to understand them so that we can apply them and use them. Ephesians, the first chapter. I'm going to go ahead and read the first, I'll probably read about the first six verses, and we'll go through some of that. And if we can get further today, we'll get further. And if we don't, we don't. So, Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And that's the first six verses there. Paul starts out this letter very typically of how Paul normally starts out his letters. You know, we often, when we write a letter, we usually address the person, you know, dear so-and-so, or we might just say, Mom, and then we sign it at the bottom. Back in the time that they lived, this was very typical that the letter would start out and it would be an introduction of who's writing the letter. And that's why Paul starts out his letters, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Paul usually starts out with either stating the fact that he is an apostle or stating the fact that he is a slave or bondservant of Jesus Christ. In this particular one, it says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That word apostle is very important for a number of reasons. First of all, it's setting forth his credentials as far as who he is and his authority for what he's going to write in the letter. And here again, this word sometimes gets misused today. The word itself, apostle, just simply means messenger, one who is sent. In this context of the early Christian church, that word apostle had a very specific meaning. We refer to the 12 disciples as the 12 apostles. We also read in Scripture where there were at different times dozens, if not hundreds, of disciples of Christ. Those were people who were studying and learning under him, but there were only the 12 apostles. They were a special group of individuals. The early church had a specific understanding of what an apostle was. And specifically, in order to be an apostle, you must have A, seen Christ in person. B, you must have been chosen by Christ and instructed by Christ. C, you had the universal authority to teach, preach, and establish churches. And D, you had the power to perform miracles that validated your authority. And this was the early church's understanding of what an apostle was. And if you think back to the 12, you think back to Paul, they fit the criteria. We know that Paul was approached on the Damascus Road. He had a physical contact with Christ. Even after Christ's resurrection, Paul still had that contact with Christ. But anyway, those were the requirements of a true apostle. The interesting thing is that we also read in Scripture where there's it's in Matthew 10, Christ gathers his 12 apostles together and he's giving them instructions. He's going to send them out into the Jewish cities, and it even says in there that he gave them the power to perform miracles in their ministry. And that was a key part of validating the authority that they'd been given. We have plenty of biblical record of the miracles that the apostles themselves performed. And what we don't have is we don't have any kind of a biblical record of non-apostles performing on a regular basis the same kind of miracles. So there again, that just leads to that there was a specific group of people and they had a specific purpose, functions, and abilities. And those were the apostles. And so Paul starts out an apostle, states his credentials. Another reason Paul did that is because of Paul's background, where he was a Jewish Pharisee, and we know early in his life he was out to persecute the Christian church. Once he was converted, he met with a lot of opposition because people knew Paul as Saul, the church persecutor. quite often in his, especially in his early ministry, there was a lot of people that were questioned whether, you know, Paul was really who he said he was and what his real motives were. So there again, it just kind of further establishes his credentials. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And that's something that's easy to read over that, but we have to understand that Paul didn't choose to be an apostle. Paul didn't decide to be an apostle. Paul didn't one day say, you know, I think I want to be like a Christian and I want to be an apostle. It was strictly by the will of God. And the thing that we should remind ourselves is that we are Christians today by the will of God. We don't wake up one morning and say, you know, I think I'm going to be a Christian now. I think that's what I want to do. It's always by the will of God. He says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. That word saints simply means a believer. I know that there are churches that have a different meaning and a different class of believers that are saints, and not everybody's a saint. But in the true sense of the word, as it is in the Bible, we are saints. As believers, we are saints. And that's what that word simply means. To the believers who are in Ephesus and faithful in Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very, very common greeting that Paul puts in his letters right after the introduction of himself. If you hold your place there and just turn backwards to the book previous, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 3, Paul says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, he uses that in Romans. He uses it in Colossians. So that was part of his opening and introduction. But he says it for a reason, because where does grace come from? Grace comes from God. Where does peace come from? It comes from God. So here Paul is just stating some real doctrinal truth, that your grace and your peace comes from God. And he's basically saying, and may you have that grace and peace. When he says that here, he says, grace and peace to you. But he's reminding them where it comes from. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. Chapter 1, verse 3. We see this repeated. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. When we think of that word bless, and it says in there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, we tend to think of, why would he be saying bless God? How do we bless God? But the word that he uses in Greek is the word eulogy. And eulogy means praise. So actually, if we wanted to actually get the real flavor of that, he's saying praise God the Father and Jesus Christ. In other words, praise to God. And that's what he's meaning there when he says, blessed be God and Father. Praise to God. May God receive praise. So it's a praise to God. And so he's reminding them here, our praise goes to God the Father. He says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Heavenly places is where Christ is. He says, who's given us every spiritual blessing. And that's very important, because we need to understand that when we become a believer, when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we receive every spiritual blessing. Now, there are places that teach that, you know, you get to a point where you get a second blessing. And I don't know, some of you may have been in churches before where they teach about the second blessing and teach about receiving more from the Holy Spirit. But scripturally, Paul tells us that we receive all spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing. And we'll look at some scriptures down the road that talk about what happens when we receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at some doctrine here, but I'm not going to today, and as we do Ephesians, get really deep into some of these doctrines, predestination, election, justification, sanctification. There will be some teachings where we will focus exactly on that. We will spend a day and we will do, what is predestination? What is election? What is sanctification? We won't get that deep into them here in Ephesians, but I will give you, you know, enough cross-references that you'll have a good understanding and you can pursue it on your own also. So what kind of spiritual blessings are these that Paul's talking about? One of the spiritual blessings that we receive through Christ is immortality. We will exist eternally with Him. So we receive immortality through Christ. Another spiritual blessing that we get is that we will enter the kingdom of heaven. We will be in the presence of God for all of eternity. Another example is we get to receive the identity of sonship. We know that Christ is referred to as the Son of God, but we see in Scripture that we also are called sons of God as believers. So those are just some of the, some of those spiritual blessings that we receive. Turn to Romans 8:28, please. Okay, Romans 8:28 is a verse I'm sure you're all very familiar with. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." This is all part of that every spiritual blessing that we receive. Paul's saying there in Romans that we know that those of us who love God and are called according to His purpose, He works all those things for good. Now, that doesn't mean we always see what the good is, but you can have the confidence knowing that whatever's going on, God is working it all together for our good. Colossians 2:10. And it's like the middle of a sentence, so I'll start at 9, but in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in Him, that's Christ, for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Again, it's that, when Paul says you receive every spiritual blessing, and he tells us in Colossians that we are complete in Him. We don't have to wait to receive any more. We don't have to get a second blessing. We don't have to receive more. We are complete already. We are complete in Christ. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What you receive from the Holy Spirit, I receive from the Holy Spirit. What I receive from the Holy Spirit, Sparky receives from the Holy Spirit. What Sparky receives from the Holy Spirit, Kirsten and Lucy receive from the Holy Spirit. We're complete. It's all there. It's just up to us to use it. One last one, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. He's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. What He's given to Sparky, He's given to me. What He's given to me, He's given to you. Christ makes us complete. All spiritual blessings, all spiritual benefits are there for us. All right, back to Ephesians. He said in there, and with every spiritual blessing, in the heavenly places in Christ. You see that in the heavenly places again in verse 20, which he says, in which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. You see that again in chapter 2 in verse 6. Paul says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's talking about our position with Christ. Is that position that we have with Christ, and it's relating to that all the spiritual blessings that we receive through Christ from the heavenly places. We are essentially partakers with Christ, is what Paul's saying here. Verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I mentioned a little while ago that down the road, we'll tackle some very specific issues of doctrine relating to election and predestination, and can anybody be saved, or can only just the elect be saved, and who are the elect, and did I choose God, or did God choose me, and we'll get into that. But Paul touches on that right here, and he makes it very clear. Just as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. This is what is known as election. That God chose us before the foundations of the world. If you stop and think about it, it really is amazing to think about it. That before the earth was even created, God chose me and you to be believers. And the world hadn't even been created yet. That's what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. God is speaking here. He says, for you are, actually this is Moses speaking. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. I bring this up for two reasons. One is when you talk about election and you talk about God choosing people, it's been in recent centuries that people have had a problem with, well, God would only choose some people for salvation and not all. There was never really a problem in the church with that concept in the last few hundred years. And I mention that because I've never heard anybody have a problem with God in the Old Testament times choosing the nation of Israel to be a special people and excluding others for his program that he had for them. We don't have a problem with that. But yet people have a problem with, well, that wouldn't be fair if God only chose some people for salvation. But what it shows is that God is consistent in that for his purposes, whatever his purposes may be, God decides at different times to choose people for his purposes. He chose the nation of Israel to be a special people. Paul is telling us here that we, the saved, we were chosen before the foundation of earth. Why? For the purposes of God's will. Isaiah chapter 45. So turn ahead a little bit in your Bibles, Old Testament, to Isaiah 45, verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. There again, he talks about Israel, his elect, the people that he's chosen, and he reminds them that I chose you before you even knew me. He says, even though you knew not my name. God is talking. He's telling them. He says, this is God speaking. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name, Israel, and I have named you, though you have not known me. God chose them even when they didn't know him. John chapter 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The point Christ was making is that you didn't choose me. No one can come to me unless the Father sends him, sends that person, sends you to me. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Those that had been chosen for salvation believed. As many as had been appointed. There again, it's showing in Scripture where the elect, those that are chosen, and God chooses us first. In the early church, first four centuries, you know, church fathers were very clear in their writings about election and choosing. John Chrysostom, and it may be a name you may be familiar with, I don't know, but Chrysostom, but he wrote, Christ chose us to have faith in him before we even came into being. It's just a simple explanation of the process. Christ chose us to have faith in him before we even came into being. He had already chosen us. The purpose is the second half of verse 4. Talks about us being chosen, says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That right there is the whole purpose of God's choosing us, is so that because we are not worthy, because we are unrighteous, he has chosen us to be holy and blameless, even though we're not. And what that does is that shows us God's purpose is for us to be holy. And the result of God choosing us to be holy is that we are blameless in his eyes, even though we know we start out as unrighteous individuals. This, if you really want to get into doctrine, this is the doctrine of imputation. This is where we are not righteous and we can't be, but Christ imputes or gives us his righteousness. This is the basic doctrine of imputation. Christ making us righteous when we're not. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoptions as son by Christ Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. He's reinforcing that, having predestined, having chosen us before he even created us, that this is my plan for these people. To be adopted as sons, there's that word sons in there, that that puts us fellow partakers with Christ, to be sons of God, that we're adopted by Christ. And the key part of this phrase here is according to the good pleasures of his will. It's what God chooses to do himself for his purposes. You know, people, I just don't know what my purpose in life is. I just don't understand what my, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. And I'm talking about Christians and non-Christians. And it's so basic. It's so basic. Our entire purpose of our existence is to bring glory to God for his good pleasure. That's the whole purpose of our existence. And we want to make it so difficult, but that's the whole purpose that we're here, is for his good pleasure. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And all he's saying is, those that received him and believed, they received the right to become children of God. And that we weren't born out of blood or flesh, but we were born of God. Christ, you know, had told people that you must be born again, must be born of God, born of the Spirit. And it's that whole idea that we have the right to become children of God. And just a little reminder on that, it's common to hear people say, well, we're all children of God. Scripture's very clear. We're not all children of God. It's those that believe, believers, who have the right to be called children of God. And there's other scripture where it talks about, you know, you're either a child of God or a child of Satan, one or the other. So it's very meaningful, really, and specific who are children of God. And he gives us that right to have that. Last thing, verse 6 here. And let's see, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And there again, the purpose, it's to bring glory to him. He doesn't have to extend his grace to us. He doesn't have to extend his grace to anybody. But by extending his grace, it brings glory to him, according to whatever his will and his purposes are. And he says, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And that in, accepted in the beloved is Christ. Made us accepted in Christ. Where he says here, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in the praise of his glory, we see that repeated in verse 12 here, Ephesians 1. Says in verse 12 that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. We see it in verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption, to the praise of his glory. And that again kind of gets back to the whole purpose of why we're here. We're here to bring glory to God, to bring him praises. Matthew 3, verse 17 says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We know that that was at the time when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist, and that voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That is where we see in Paul here makes that reference to Christ calling him the beloved. Those were the words of God. One last scripture we'll look at, and then we'll probably call it a day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. All Paul is saying here is, that's my prayer, that's my desire, that you would be worthy of your calling, that you would fulfill your purpose to bring glory and praise to Christ. That's the essence of it, our purpose, bring glory and praise to God and to Christ. The book of Ephesians, it is a letter that Paul wrote.
And that concludes our study in Ephesians for today. Next week, we'll pick up again. We'll start in verse 7 and cover some more from Ephesians. If you had any questions about our study today, I welcome your questions. You can visit us at our website, and our website is studyhiswordradio.org. Again, that's studyhiswordradio.org. By visiting our website, you can submit any kind of questions that you had about our study in Ephesians, or you could submit other Bible questions that you might have. I used to, when I was pastoring a church, we used to take the fifth Sunday of the month, and it would be question and answer Sunday. And I would take all kinds of questions from the congregation and give a biblical answer. And we had all kinds of different questions, some questions as complicated as what is predestination. And sometimes the questions weren't that complicated. They were, whatever happened to the bones of Moses? Or what was the manger that Christ was laid in? What was it made out of? I had a question one time, why are there four gospels in the New Testament? So if you have a question that maybe has been bothering you or you've been wondering about or something that you didn't understand, please feel free to submit it, and we'll do our research and we'll do our homework on it, and we'll answer your questions on the air. Also, while you're at the website, you have an opportunity to submit prayer requests. One of the things I plan to do every Sunday is close this program in prayer. And if you wish to submit a prayer request, we will announce your prayer request, you know, on air and pray with you and pray for you. You don't have to have your name mentioned. It can be anonymous. Otherwise, we will mention first names only, unless you specifically request to pray for such and such a family. But we will use first names only, and you can remain anonymous if you wish to. But we will also, you know, take prayer requests to close out the show. Also on our website, in the next couple weeks, we'll have available opportunities for you to order CDs of the study that we've done. And the CD will be just the study itself. In other words, today if you requested the CD, you would get the study in Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 6. If you want to hear the entire program again, you can, from our page, click on, and it'll take you to WWGH's page, to the archive section. And in the archive section, you have an opportunity to go back and listen to any of the programs that you might have missed. If you're not able to join us on Sunday morning, but you'd like to hear it later, at your convenience, you can go to the archive page and do that. And you also can direct your friends to go there. Some of the other things that we're going to be doing is, I mentioned at the top of the show that we'll be doing some interviews with people of faith. I'm looking forward to 2 weeks from today, May 2nd. We're going to have a missionary here and do a short interview with him and let him tell you about his specific mission that he's involved in. I think you'll find it quite interesting. Oftentimes, we think of missionaries going off to exotic places like Ecuador or Bolivia or deep in the jungles of Africa, which they often do. But Mr. Higgins, he's a missionary right here in the United States, and he has a very specific mission field that he's working in. And I think you'll find it very interesting, so I encourage you to join us again in 2 weeks when you can listen to Sean Higgins. While you're at our website, there's a picture there of myself and my family so that you can kind of put a face on this name, this voice that you hear over the radio. I know lots of times we often wonder what that person on the radio really looks like. Well, there's a picture there of myself and my two sons and their wives. And I probably should update that picture. Not in that picture. Since that picture was taken, I've been blessed with four grandchildren, three boys and a girl. So I should probably update that. But while we're talking about that, just to give you a little bit of background about myself so that you know who this guy is on the radio that's talking to you about biblical things, I got saved in 1997, 24 years ago, at a very, very low point in my life. I had grown up in a church as a youth, but I really wasn't paying much attention. I didn't have any connection to God. I wasn't connected to God or the church. And I wandered away from that as soon as I turned 18. I just was there because my family took me. And when I was in college, I got real interested in some of the things that I would hear the atheists on the radio say. And I reached a point where I was kind of convinced that there was no God, and I knew why there was no God. And I headed down the wrong path in life, as many of us have, and I was in pursuit of the almighty dollar. I'd set a goal for myself that I was going to be a millionaire by the age of 35. Well, sadly to say, I never became a millionaire by age 35 or any age. I'm 62 now and still not a millionaire, but that's okay. Because my pursuit of the almighty dollar led me down some paths that ended up me breaking the law and being criminally charged with some things. So I was at a low point in my life that my life was a total train wreck, and I knew I needed something more than what I was pursuing. And at that time, my new wife had taken me to a church that she had spent a lot of time at. And so I went there, and God reached out and got a hold of me, and I realized that, you know, I had made a total mess of my life and I needed something more. And so that was a point in my life where I finally did accept the fact that, yeah, there really was a God, that I had been wrong about that, and that I needed that God in my life. And so I got saved in 1997. And so I've spent the last 24 years pursuing the knowledge of God's to deepen my relationship with God, and at the same time felt a desire to teach the Word of God. It was laid upon my heart that all those hundreds of hours I was spending studying Scripture for my own benefit, that I needed to share that with others. And so about 20 years ago, I started teaching adult Sunday school at the church I was at. And since that time, I've taught many adult Sunday schools. I've pastored a church. I've led home Bible studies. I've done Bible seminars. But it's a passion that I have to teach the Word, because it's through the study of His Word that we learn things that improve our life and also deepen our relationship with God, so that Jesus can fulfill His promise to us to give us a life more abundant. And that's the pursuit, is to have that life that's more abundant. Some of the other things that we'll be doing is covering news from around the world that's related to the church. And I don't know if any of you have caught this on the news, but there's some things going on in Canada that we should be aware of, causes us some concern. There's a church in Edmonton, Alberta, and it's called the Grace Life Church. And in January, that church was closed by the health commissioner in Alberta because the church was failing to comply with the standards that had been set down for COVID. And their standards were a church could only have 15% of their fire capacity for worship service. They were required to wear masks. There was no singing permitted in the church. And there was no playing of musical instruments in the church. And they were required to obviously observe all social distancing. Well, the church felt that this was a violation of their freedom to practice their religion, so they did not comply with those. Well, the health commissioner closed the church and had the pastor arrested. The pastor was arrested, and he was jailed for 35 days, and he was jailed in a maximum security prison for those 35 days for violating those health standards. After his release, he went back to his church, and they started holding services again. So 2 weeks ago, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police came in, and they put fences all around the church, and they were basically closing off the church. So the church has been forced to meet in secret while the church itself is barricaded and guarded by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police explained their purpose of their occupation of the church building was to preserve the peace, to maintain public safety, And they said, and we recognize everyone has a right to peaceful freedom of expression. However, it just couldn't be done inside the church walls. What's interesting about this, and it's playing itself out in the courts, and we'll give you an update next week as far as what's happening today, this Sunday. Last Sunday, they did have to meet in a private location. So we'll keep you up to date and see what's happening. But along the interesting things to note about this, there's a very harsh standards that the health commissioner has set down for churches as far as who can meet and how many can meet. If we look at the effect of COVID in Alberta, in Canada, that it's very interesting to compare it. The population there is in Alberta is 4.4 million. Now, here in Ohio, we have just over 11 million individuals. If we look at the 2,000 deaths from COVID they've had in Alberta compared to the almost 19,000 we've had here in Ohio, if we do it on a per 100,000 resident basis, look at deaths per 100,000 residents, we here in Ohio have almost four times the death rate that they have in Alberta. And yet they've got these very restrictive measures for churches. So we'll keep an eye on that, see what's happening. And again, from time to time, as there's other news that's important that relates to the church, I will share it with you. I mentioned to you that we would take prayer requests over our website, which again, the website is studyhiswordradio.org. So please feel free to submit your prayer requests. We'd be happy to share them here every Sunday as we close out the program. So what I'd like to do right now is just, I've got a couple of prayer requests. I would like to go ahead and announce those to you, and we're going to pray for it. And the first one is kind of personal. I mentioned that on our website you'd see a picture of myself and my sons and their wives. And my oldest son is 32 years old, and he was just diagnosed about 10 days ago with a very rare form of lymphoma. So I just ask that you folks would be in prayer for him and for his family. He has a wife and he has a son. Just be in prayer for him. His name is David. Also, too, I mentioned that we're going to have Sean Higgins, a missionary, on the program here in a couple weeks. And we'd just like to lift Sean up in prayer. So please, I just ask if take a couple moments here and let's have some prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we've had today on the radio to study the word that you've given us. We thank you that you care enough to want the best for us, and for you want us to understand you and you want us to love you. So we thank you for the opportunity that we have, that we can come together, people that I can't see and they can't see me, but yet we can come together and we can study your word. Father, I lift up my son David, just ask that you give him peace and comfort as he goes through whatever it is that he's going to be going through in the coming weeks and months ahead. We just raise him up to you. Father, we raise up Sean Higgins, a missionary, that as he travels to his area of mission, that you will strengthen him, that you will embolden him, and that you will open doors for him in his mission field. And we just ask that you would be open him up, that he can open up the hearts of the people that he's going to be ministering to, that lives can be touched and lives can be changed. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all that you do. Amen. If you have any questions, I know that there are probably some people out there that are listening that have a church and that have been saved, and there are probably some people out there listening that maybe don't consider themselves saved and aren't really sure about what it means to have a relationship with God or what it means to have a relationship with Christ. So I'd be more than happy to, again, if you have any of those kinds of questions, things you're wondering about, drop us a line. Go to our website. Again, that's studyhiswordradio.org. Drop us a line. Let us know what your questions are, and we would be happy to answer them for you. I will answer them personally through email, and be happy to answer them also on the air. This is a time for us to interact with each other. Look forward to interacting with you. Look forward to, in the future, talking to many of you on the phone. I know I didn't take any phone calls today, But in the future, I'd be happy to take some phone calls. That's one of the great things I love about WWGH, is it's very interactive, that you have the opportunity for phone calls. And it's good to be here. So again, a thank you, and look forward to meeting with you again next Sunday. And I hope that things go well for you again this week. Again, we just thank you. And again, if you have any questions, please feel free to submit them to us, and we'll do our best to get them answered on the phone, or on the radio, I mean. One last thing, as I said, you'll be able to request CDs of our studies, and those will be available in the next couple weeks. Those are, again, at no charge. I believe that things should be without charge. So we look forward to sending out CDs if you would like to request one for yourself or request one for somebody you know. And again, we thank you and look forward to meeting with you again.
WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel.
You know, it's interesting because everybody knows the story, obviously, of what happened there. But when that all was going down, because that's a rough period, that's a rough year. And, you know, as it comes out in Sports Illustrated that, you know, these emails were flying around on April 2nd, and on December 9th, you publicly said you didn't know anything about it. And it all came down that way. Do you wish you had said, yes, I know about it on December 9th, or had reported it earlier?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure that you have all the dots connected there. But if you ask, do I wish, throughout the course of the entire situation, that we would have made some different decisions, you know, without a doubt. But I'm not sure.